Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is part two of the very long episode that you can listen to part one earlier in the feed or on nimlost.org. Or if you'd rather just listen to one long episode, please go to nimlost.org or earlier into your feed and get the long episode. Otherwise, please make sure you have listened to part one, and you may now listen to part two. All right, so unless we have any more thoughts on that per se, we're going to get into the email that I have that is criticizing crowdfunding.
Mm-hmm.
This is from a listener that the Mixed Nutcases would be familiar with because she's done a bunch of my bumpers and she was on my last episode. This is from Lulu. Because mine is not a very popular opinion in our crowd, and I got some flack for it. My comment is aimed at writing and podcasting only. Maybe crowdfunding is good for other kinds of businesses, but that's where my interests lie. Number one. I don't take well to being taken hostage. The if you want my next story, you have to join this site and pay me advance to have it spiel just makes me turn away and ignore it, which I think we've all discussed that, you know, that's one way that you can go, but that's not necessarily the way that everyone should go. And I feel as a podcaster that if it's a podcast, I have a really hard time with paywalls and podcasts. I do like the idea of giving stuff early, giving a couple of bonus episodes, something special, but I agree. It's never worked out very well, the pay for podcasts, in my opinion. Anyone else?
There are some, like Jimmy Pardo with Never Not Funny or Dan Klass or even Don and Drew. They have the model of the free episode versus the not free episode. So like, for example, with Jimmy Pardo, you get a truncated episode.
Mm. Right,
I think
right.
Class does a similar thing.
And I think Murr did that for a while too. Like she had one where the swearing was bleeped and then there was extra, mm-hmm. there was swearing and extra segments in the paid version.
Yeah. Mysterious Universe is another good example. They have, they're a great podcast and they have their free weekly episode. But if you become a Plus member and pay for either their app or whatever, you get an additional episode a week and you get their extension, which is usually an extra hour at least, if not more. So yeah, I'm not a fan of paywalls, which is one of the reasons why I give a significant portion of stuff away for free. You're never going to get everything of mine for free, but yeah, I will always try and give you something for free so that you can at least decide for yourself, is this something that you want to get into? Which is why I like, as an author, Smashwords versus Amazon or some of the other bigger sites. You know, I have creative control over how much free I give you, and I could charge you nothing if I wanted to, which Amazon doesn't give you that option. I think that as creators on the lower end of the scale in terms of audience size and income, you got to give a little bit away so that at least people can know if it's worth getting the whole pie.
Yeah, I think I was informed by a different author. She was telling me that in order to give her book away for free, sometimes you couldn't do it to specific people. You couldn't send out codes. She had to. It's like every 3 months or so, you can have it free for 5 days.
Yeah,
you have to be part of KDP.
Yeah, Amazon, you have to be Amazon exclusive.
Yeah, which is what KDP is, which means that you can't offer it on Smashwords and you can't
KDP is actually Kindle Direct platform. Everybody goes through that self-publishes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry then.
That's okay. But you do have to be a Kindle exclusive,
right,
in order to take advantage of that 5 days a year of being able to give your stuff away for free, which I think is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, so the next point. Number two, I don't know what the next story is going to be, so why would I pay in advance for something I'm not sure I'll want? I feel like my choices are taken away from me. It's not because I liked some of the stories from an author, then I want to read every single word they put out. Okay, fair point.
And that's kind of exactly what I was dealing with, is I was putting out these short stories, and I know they're all connected, but it's not a clear connection. You know, they're all in the same universe. And so it's not as if you're following one character through all of these stories. I was struggling with exactly that same thing. Why would somebody want to come back week after week? I'm not going to build the suspense of a good serial kind of thing. So I decided to do this book as my next novel as a serial. And, you know, like Dave said, I'm feeling it around here. I'm figuring it out as I go. And so I'm feeling that critique and trying to respond to it. And we'll figure out how it works. It may be a gigantic flop or it may be a huge success.
Yeah, I do think, again, for me, as I've said, when it comes to authors, a lot of times I just want to get them writing. And so it doesn't really matter whether or not I like the short story they put out this month, but maybe I like next month's. And so that's fine. But when it comes to podcast, I think this one's particularly for writers, because I think if you like a podcast, you're going to like most of the episodes anyway. So,
yeah, I kind of get where she's headed, because I know there have been authors who have done Kickstarters and they've essentially said that if they don't get the Kickstarter successful, they're not going to produce the work anywhere at all, ever.
Yeah.
And I think that's a choice you make as a creator. I think as a consumer, if I see that as what's behind the podcast, if I really believe in the author and I see what they've done before, then I'm willing to take that risk. And if they decide that not getting the Kickstarter successful means they can't devote the time to producing it, that's their choice as a creator. I get what she's saying. I don't necessarily agree with her, but it depends. It's a case by case basis. You know, yep. If Jake Bible were to take that approach tomorrow, saying, "Oh, my next story won't come out unless the Kickstarter is successful," I'm probably going to back it because I love everything Jake has done. Or Paul Cooley, same deal. You know, but if Joe Schmo says, "Oh, you know, if I'm not successful, it's not coming out," then I'm probably not going to back it because I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I do remember there's an author that I love most of his writing. There's one project he really loves, lots of his fans love, and I really could care less about if he said, "All right, if I can't get this Kickstarter to back this book, I'm not working on anything else." I'm probably not going to back it because, well, I didn't like that story. I like your other stories. And I think that is definitely, as a supporter, my prerogative to be able to support what I like. But when it comes to Patreon, I do think you're more supporting the author than a specific story. And when you're going through Kickstarter or Indiegogo or one of the others, it's you're supporting a story, not so much the author, if that makes sense.
Very true. Very true.
So number three. The Patreon concept forces authors to put something out on a regular basis, which means, in my honest opinion and experience, some of the things that get published are forced or not ready. Life happens and inspiration is a finicky thing. And the lack of editing shows, which I guess is for podcasts. So the question is, you know, if they feel that they have to put something out, does that mean that I'm going to get a rushed product or am I only going to get first drafts?
Well, I mean, for my part, I will say that what my patrons are getting is not a final draft. I promise you, you're not going to get a final draft for what you're paying for. But what I also promise you is there will come a final draft that will be edited and polished and nice cover and everything else. And when that comes out, you're getting that for free. So you will ultimately get a final edited, nice, polished draft. It just may not be the month that comes out in Patreon. So what I view my monthly output as is more of a rough cut. You know, you're backing me as a creator. You're not necessarily backing the, you know, individual project, like you said. What your money is going towards is me being able to pay cover creators and editors for. And so ultimately you will get a finished product. And the beauty part is if inspiration doesn't strike, I'm not forced to put anything out. I don't have to put out something every month. Now, Dave, as a podcaster or, you know, XYZ webcomic, they've got to have a regular release schedule. That's the nature of the game. And it sounds like Dave has the ethics in place that if it's not a good product, you're still going to get it, but it's going to be free or whatever. Same deal for me. You know, if I don't have something by the 25th, I'm not going to bust my butt to just get words on a page and put something up on the 30th. You know, nobody's twisting my arm to get this done. I'll put it out on the 10th of the following month, and you'll get it, and it'll be great. So yeah, I get what she's saying, but and as creators, we have to do the quality control. But that's yeah.
Yeah, I've developed a workflow where today I published a new chapter today, and then sent the next chapter to my editor. And it took me a while to get ahead of things. And a lot of stressful time, but now I'm ahead of things where I'm working well ahead of the things that I'm actually going to put out on Patreon. But the other side of that I think of is how long is GL in beta, right? Like there's this sort of time-honored tradition for the last, 10 years of putting things out sort of in a beta format to get that user connection and all of that. And I mean, I'm as close to a Google fanboy as I could be a fanboy of anything. And I'm fine with the beta-ness of it because it works well enough. And then it's that ownership thing of being able to come back and say, oh, here's this bug or here's this thing. I would love for my fans to be able to come back to me and say, oh, what about this? Or, this was a mistake, or to give me feedback on what I'm writing to make it better going forward. As I was looking at doing the serialized stuff, I did some research, and Charles Dickens serialized most of his novels. Most, and don't quote me on the most part, but several.
You cut out for a second. Who are you talking about?
I'm sorry about that. Charles Dickens.
Oh yes, excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, them.
Yeah, right. but as he was going, he actually would change characters. And tweak things in the later chapters of the story based on feedback that he got from earlier stuff. I would love that. That's my dream for what Patreon might be.
Mm-hmm. So viewing writing kind of like a software model.
Yeah.
Which it's a very neat idea, I think.
Well, I mean, given the fact that, like, for instance, I just put this thing out and somebody said to me today, I noticed a couple of very, very minor issues. I'm going to get those to you and you're going to update the file, and everybody who already bought it is going to be able to download the updated version, and everybody who buys it is only going to get the best version. So yeah, writing a software, especially with the EPUB, revolution, that's perfect parallel.
Yeah. All right. So number three, no, we already did number three. We're up to number four. Number four. We all know that podcasting a story while writing is a bad idea, but with the pressure of Patreon puts on them to deliver, authors become stuck with their earlier ideas, and the end result of the quality suffers from it, and the continuity arg. I think when it comes to specifically podcasting a story, I think we can all agree that podcasting while you're writing it is not going to very well.
This is no different from if you had a patio book, mm-hmm. You were doing it real time. You've done exactly the same thing. It's not a unique issue to this platform.
Yeah. And you can keep those guidelines of, if I want to podcast a novel, I'm going to have it written. I'm going to go through my draft process and I'm going to have it recorded, or at least have enough recorded ahead of time so that when I release it, and it's considered a Patreon project, that it is as good as it's going to be. And I'm not writing it this month and producing it this month and, taking 3 years to finish a standard novel length.
Yeah, thus far, I think the overarching theme of her questions is the fear that this is forcing you to put out a substandard product to keep the pipeline going. And I don't feel it. If anything, I feel the opposite, right? It's forcing me to put out a better product.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You specifically, you're no longer recording in your car.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's forcing me to put out product on a regular basis, which I need. I need some force behind me. That's my personality. I need to know that there's somebody out there who wants to read this, and I'll keep writing it.
You need a kick in the pants. You need a deadline. Yeah.
If I felt like I was screaming into a vacuum, I'd probably stop tomorrow. But I know that there are people out there who believe in me, who believe in what I'm doing, who are willing to put some skin in the game, and I'm not going to disappoint them. I'm not going to put out a first draft. I'm going to put out a third or fourth draft, and it's still not going to be perfect because I'm a human being, and it's not, I don't have an editor who can turn it around in a week or 2 weeks. But again, if you back what I'm putting out there, what you get at the end of the month isn't the final project.